relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
The fracas, the storm in a teacup surrounding my former Fox colleague Tucker Carlson does not seem to be abating. He is not standing down. He is buffeted by members of the military using their official accounts, wearing uniforms to say how dare he comment? As somebody who never served on what the military is doing under a Biden administration, it continues with the most senior enlisted officer who represents Space Command making the following statement about an American journalist. Play cuts.
Drama TV. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I call it. I'll apologize up front and tell you that I don't have cable news at home. I don't have it here in the office, and I don't watch a lot of drama TV. I understand some comments were made yesterday, and I watched the clip that Mr. Carlson produced as he referred to pregnant women in the military. I'll remind everyone that his opinion, which he has a right to, is based off of actually 0 days of service in the armed forces.
0 days of service in the armed forces, therefore he should keep his mouth shut. Well, I'm sure our regular guest has something to say on that. He is, of course, Lord Conrad Black, the author, amongst many other books, of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. You can follow him right now on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. First things first, Conrad, I'm sure you caught the video last week of the President of the United States flanked by two female generals he was about to promote, talking, and if you missed it, I am not making this up, you can check it, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the important things the U.S. military has done, such as designing maternity flight suits and updating the hairstyles permitted to female officers. Were you impressed by that address to the nation, Lord Black?
Well, actually, I must say, Sebastian, probably slightly more than you would think, because, and I hope your listeners will take this in the right spirit, I rather admire the slightly revealing outfits of these Chinese female soldiers. And I think that in fact, in the uniform area, it is a legitimate thing to want your soldiers, male and female, aviators and seamen, I mean, are members of the armed forces, regardless of which sex they are, to be well turned out. So to that extent, to that slight extent, I thought that the president's presentation of those two ladies was acceptable. But of course, it has mushroomed into a lot of asinine nonsense that there's no excuse for at all. And the clip you ran at the top of the this segment of this man proudly announcing that he didn't have cable television in his home or office and essentially didn't know what he was talking about, but denouncing Tucker Carlson for what he said, is precisely illustrative of the worrisome level of absurdity that some of the officer corps are descending to. I mean, what that man said about Tucker Carlson not having spent a day in the armed forces could be said about the commander-in-chief, too, you know. I mean, it could be said about distinguished previous commanders-in-chief, including Abraham Lincoln and Franklin D. Roosevelt, who were two of the great war leaders democracies have ever had. I mean, it's just a classic example of the utterly irrelevant piffle that is being uttered by spokespeople for this administration on esoteric matters, when we have a tremendous range of crises, foreign and domestic, to deal with. To be commenting on women's hairstyles in the armed forces is just absurd.
Yeah, so I like to consider you a multifaceted, a Renaissance man, and a presidential historian is one of those facets. And let me just return to that speech. Is it right? Is there precedent for any president, any commander-in-chief to discuss the new hairstyles that any sex has in the military? I mean, is that the correct subject of a national address?
To the very best of my knowledge, after decades of extensive readership and observation of American military and political history, the answer to your question is no. No, it has not been done before. Yes, it is unprecedented.
That is what I suspected. And then the broader question of there must be a permit. This isn't a video of a master gunnery sergeant at a barbecue wearing flip-flops in his shorts that is surreptitiously filmed and then somebody posts it on the internet. The videos we are seeing from the Marine Command, TUMEF, the videos we're seeing from the CNO, the Chief of Naval Operations, are videos of these individuals talking to the camera, wearing their uniforms, and posted on official Defense Department social media platforms. Given that it's occurring on a daily basis, doesn't that mean there is an unhealthy, permissive environment whereby these military professionals feel they should be making political commentary?
I think not only that, but an unhealthy preoccupation with matters that are extremely marginal and
right,
very secondary to the urgent needs of the magnificent forces that are chiefly responsible and almost, in fact, entirely responsible for retention and maintenance of the security of the American people and the territorial integrity of the United States. Furthermore, there does exist and has existed since Washington's time the position of costumer general of the armed forces. That position exists, and as the title implies, its responsibility is to take care of these matters. Now, if they were interviewing the costumer general,
right,
who was saying, well, we've made these changes, that would be fine. That's his job. And it's a job of some importance, but it's essentially a commissary quartermaster job for supplying a certain quantity of physical necessities to the armed forces. It is not the rightful distraction of senior command figures to be holding forth about this in this way, and it shouldn't be the kind of controversy that it is, and I'm afraid it's just symptomatic of some of the foolishness that's going on here.
You can follow him right now on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. The book is A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Lord Black, one of the proudest things I'm most proud of in my time in the administration is that we returned a concept of great power competition to our national strategy. It wasn't the environment. It wasn't other outre concepts. It was great power competition that drove our analysis of the geopolitical climate. Given that, what is your expectation of how, I don't know, the powers that be in Beijing, in Tehran, in the Kremlin, look at the debate now in America, that it's haircuts and maternity flight suits that are driving the media. How do our great power adversaries or Canada's adversaries look at this phenomena?
Well, I don't, in fairness, as you would know, Sebastian, coming from another culture, there is a considerable body of opinion that finds the United States incomprehensible anyway. It is an exotic country to foreigners. It operates on a scale unlike other countries. And the vagaries of American politics do mystify most foreigners at times, so that they would make some allowance for that. And then some of the places you mentioned are inhabited habitually by chronically suspicious and devious people, and they would be capable of thinking that this is some extraordinarily clever and incomprehensible scheme to throw them off the track and disguise from them the sinister strategic designs that are really being hatched in the inner circles of the Pentagon and the National Security Council. But more probably, I think that they just shake their heads and say, what on earth are these Americans doing? What is this nonsense?
I love that. I dearly hope that is the scenario, that in the bowels of, you know, the People's Liberation Army headquarters and in the Kremlin at the Lubyanka and elsewhere, they're thinking, oh my gosh, the Americans are working on hypersonic weapons or directed energy weapons, and this is all a ploy, all a distraction, a shiny object for us.
You know, what worries me a bit is that in these discussions just in the last 10 days or so, the counter argument has come in from some eminent retired officers,
yes,
saying that the American military is being distracted from its real tasks, and that it is not paying adequate attention to the fact that for the last 20 years all it's done is smash up secondary military units, and it's given them the spirit of overconfidence. And if it is going to be that we're going to have a more direct, not conflict, not shooting armed conflict, but face-to-face confrontation with great military powers, particularly China, the United States Armed Forces are ill-prepared for it, because the only forces they face in the last 20 or 30 years are ones that were completely
second-rate. Cooler heads must prevail. Next, the Lord Black's latest article here on America First.
Oh, there he is. There's my guy. Good job. How's your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
you. I heard good.
Thank you, Mr. President. We need to play that cut more often. I love that cut from the social media summit when the president recognized his former staffer in the room and asked me to ask the first question. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the 45th President of the United States, broadcasting live from the ReliefActor.com studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C. Eric, right now, let's post one of our most popular articles, our 14 favorite conservative websites, including American Greatness, yes, indeed, amgreatness.com, where you can regularly read articles by our regular guests, including Victor Davis Hanson and today's Lord Conrad Black. The latest piece, Biden's Tenuous Hold on Our Political Imagination, is an analysis of our halfway post in the first 100 days, that New Deal expression. Lord Black, let me just read two headlines to you, and then we can use it to unpack your piece in American Greatness. 10%. This is from justthenews.com, one of our favorite sites. 10% of illegal immigrants test positive for COVID-19 before being released into the general population. Also from Just the News, Nicholas Sherman, as many as 3,000 illegal immigrant teens will be held in a Dallas convention center. Lord Black, how long can a Democrat administration maintain this insanity?
I would say not very long, Sebastian. I mean, they of course have a blank check from their docile and rabidly partisan media, so they'll cover for them for as long as they can. But in the end, that sort of unscrupulous and unreasoned partisanship that they are enjoying from the Trump-hating media is not reliable. Once the media recognize that the line they're taking is one that is simply not sustainable to their listeners and viewers, you won't see them for smoke. They will demonstrate about as much loyalty to this administration that they're protecting as they did fairness and impartiality to the previous one, and they'll be gone.
You really think there will be a moment where the worm turns and there will be no mercy from the mainstream media that is mostly 92% registered Democrats?
To an extent, yes. I'm not saying that they will do a 180-degree turn and become Trump supporters, but I just say two things. First of all, when their audience starts to stampede under them, they will follow their audience.
Right.
They won't stand there and choose defending this insane non-policy on the southern border as a hill to die on in terms of their credibility. And secondly, as you know, Sebastian, we both have had a lot to do with the media. At a certain point, they resent being taken for granted. And,
right.
and once they feel that this administration is simply taking them for granted and regards them as a robotic attack dog to be tugged on the leash and told what to do by the regime, they will turn on their ostensible masters. So they're fine. They're in the administration's corner. They have the habit of 5 years of Trump hate still propelling them, but it can be overdone. And, you know, in the old expression, if you squeeze a fish hard enough, it'll get away. And if this administration takes the media too much for granted, they'll regret it.
And you mentioned in the break, Conrad, another constituency or another power center. And those are the Democrat politicians whose constituencies are on the southern border. When things get too hot for them in the kitchen, which is already occurring, what do you predict as a keen observer of American politics? Is there a sphere of mobility? Is there room for movement? Is there any leverage that the southern Democrats along the border have when Nancy and Chuck are in charge?
Well, I think they will test that question exactly. And I suspect it's going on now. I mean, from what I hear, what's his name? Henry begins with G. Gutierrez or whatever.
Yes,
his name
Gutierrez.
Is prominent.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's a prominent congressman, I think a well-regarded congressman. And he's right on the border. And as I understand it, he is one of those who's remonstrating with the administration that they're going to have to do better than this. He'll go on doing it for a while. But, I mean, that man is not in business and in that occupation to fall on his spear for Joe Biden or anybody else. He's there to defend and promote the interests of the people who've sent him to Washington. And there is no possible question that those people are very concerned about the level of penetration of illegal entries across the border. And he will make that point, I'm making it now in a discreet way and an urgent way. But if he isn't listened to, and the others all along the border in both parties are not listened to, they, in the first place, they will effectively, in one voice, demand a more rigorous policy. And in the second place, this is a process of absorption. It's like a sponge.
Yes.
The immediate incoming illegal entries are in the southernmost districts. But they gradually, I mean, you mentioned 3,000 have been moved up to Dallas and so forth. It sort of seeps in all through the southern states. And the backlash against it is going to grow inevitably. And I absolutely do not understand how this administration could be risking so early and so stupidly the prolonged honeymoon they could have, but they are going to squander if they don't do a course correction very soon.
Well, let me ask you exactly on that point in the last minute and a half we have with you, Lord Black. Newt Gingrich, one of the most astute political minds in America today, said just over a week ago, the rapidity, the depth of the radicalism of the first 50 days with those more than 50 executive orders and actions is a direct result of a conscious decision because the Democrats know they will be trounced in the House and the Senate next year and they just want to pack it all in now. Is that feasible, a theory for you?
Feasible, yes. In the first place, any theory propounded by Newt, who's a friend of mine too, I on American politics is one you have to take seriously.
Right.
Because he is, as you say, quite an authority, and was the chief author of a somewhat of a revolution that took away the long hegemony of the Democratic Party in the Congress. And so, yes, it's feasible. But on the other hand, there are alternative theories. I mean, it is conceivable to me that the Democrats truly believe, since they have such a preposterous demonological view of President Trump, that they think they have a permanent ability to go as far afield from where the consensus is for as long as they want with impunity. That they've stirred up such Trump hatred, they have a blank check to do anything in policy terms.
Right.
That, in my opinion, is insane, and it's crumbling day by day. But it's not for me to masquerade as a mind reader of the powers that be in the Democratic Party. I mean, if they thought the way I think they should think, it would be, I think, a better governed country.
Rational or diabolical? Impossible to know at this point. We've been talking to the superlative Lord Conrad Black. Follow him right now on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. Read his presidential histories, FDR, Nixon, and most relevant, a president like no other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Chuck Schumer, what did you just find inside Nancy Pelosi's head?
There is a Flabolina Occhilini in there.
How do you impersonate Peter Lorre? How do you do that? There's only one man who can! And his name is Classified. Hi, Stevie. I hope you're watching. I hope you're watching. That was for you. Thank you, Shad. I'm so excited! My slippers are on their way. My MyPillow slippers with the special MyPillow foam on the inside. My sheepskin slippers. We put the order in. I hope they get here soon. My whole family has ordered slippers. And I just can't wait. They're boycotting Mike Lindell. Send your response to those 25 companies who want to crush his MyPillow enterprise by going directly to Mike and ordering one of his more than 100 US-made products today. Send the cancel culture leftists a message. And if you use my name, you'll get more than 60% off. Start with the slippers. If you don't have the pillow, get the pillow. Call 800-829-8468, mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. That's 800-829-8468, mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Let's talk about pillows. Kurt, line 2, are you there?
How are you doing?
Good.
This is a pleasure being on the air with you.
That's very kind.
Yeah. Hey, I only live maybe about 4 or 5 miles away from my pillow manufacturing plant.
Oh, really?
In Minneapolis. Yeah.
Have you been past it? What does it look like?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, what the plant looks like? Well, it's kind of.
Does it have a big big blue My Pillow sign on the side?
Yes, it does. Right on Highway 41, just
nice.
Off of Highway 5 over in Chaska. Chen has an area. Yeah, see, the reason why I'm calling is because I'm a big supporter of My Pillow as well as a big supporter of, you know, what Mike Lindell is doing in trying to prove the elections were fraudulent or there's some problems with it. Anyway, one of the companies that I knew that divorced their association with Mike was Kohl's Department Store, located out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. I wrote them a letter giving them my opinion about this.
Good for you.
And I even sent my chopped up credit card to them.
Wow.
Yeah, and there, I just received a response from them yesterday, and this is what they said. Kohl's department has made the decision to exit MyPillow. There has been decreased customer demand for MyPillow. That's how they read.
Yeah, because you, what were you expecting them to say? We don't like his politics. He can sod off.
Yeah, and
right.
There's a couple other companies I want to write to as well.
Good. Do it. You should. And, of course, decreased popularity. He sold has anybody sold 51 million MyPillows? Anybody sold 51 million anything? Of course, they're lying. But God bless you. Let's say thanks to Kurt. Let's give him a signed copy of The War for America's Soul for being one of the counter-cancel culture Patriots. Check out, if you want your own signed copy, go to sebgorka.com today. Wonderful, wonderful call. Let's go to Betsy, San Antonio, line one.
Hello, Dr. Gorka. I am very upset over what I see going on the border. Very upset. I can't even watch the news anymore. And I noticed...
Listen to radio instead. It's much better.
Oh, is it? Okay. Okay, are you there?
Yes.
Is this better?
No, I'm saying listen to the radio, not watch TV. I was making a silly joke, but carry on.
Okay. I thought my headset was bothering you. Okay, so California is having a recall.
Yes.
For Gavin Newsom. Why can't we recall Biden? Look at the damage he's done in just 2 months of his presidency.
Well, because there's no constitutional mandate. You can't recall a president. You can only impeach them.
Oh. Okay, I have another question for you.
Okay.
What do you mean when you say stay frosty?
Stay frosty? It's a phrase, it's a popular culture phrase from the military that was made kind of iconic in one of my favorite science fiction movies that you may not be familiar with, the sergeant in the very, very good movie, Aliens. Sergeant Apone says to his space marines, his colonial space marines, stay frosty. And it means always be aware of your surroundings. Always know what's going on. And we need to stay frosty because the left doesn't just want to intimidate us. They want to drag us into situations that are beyond our control. Don't let them provoke you. And that's what stay frosty means. Stay on the line. Let's give Betsy a signed copy of The War for America's Soul as well. More of your calls here on America First. Call us on 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A. That's 833-334-6752. Coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Debron from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That could be you. Find out today by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
It doesn't matter what they think they get to call it. It is a crisis. You heard those headlines. At least 10% of the illegal immigrants are testing positive on our southern border. Now they want to house 3,000 illegal immigrant teens in a Dallas convention center. How can you make a difference? You can't go to the border, strap on a Sam Brown, a gun and a badge, but you can make a difference with the amazing people at Food for the Poor. feeding more than a million mouths every single day in more than a dozen countries. Please help them. If we can feed the starving children in our hemisphere, it's less of a reason for their parents to put them in the hands of the coyotes, of the smugglers. Let's protect them by feeding them. Please help today. A donation in any amount makes a difference, but a one-time donation of $37 will feed one of these children for 6 months. We have the food. We just have to get it to them. Be one of these guardian angels. Be a modern missionary. Go to our website, sebgorka.com. Make a donation today. Hit the Food for the Poor banner at the top. Save a life or save lots of lives. You can call them on 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673, sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Let's get the facts. Let's find out what's really going on from somebody who was telling the truth long before anybody was paying attention. It's been far too long. He's my buddy, my former colleague, director of Breitbart's Border and Cartel Chronicles Projects, Brandon Darby. Welcome back to America First.
Hey, Seb, it's an honor to be on your show, and I miss you, and I'm glad to sit here with you and talk with your listeners about what's happening on the border.
Okay, first things first, are you still off the cigarette wagon?
I have not had a cigarette in over 2 years.
Whoa! And I didn't even tell him I was going to ambush him. Well done, Brandon Darby. Good man,
yes.
Good man. Okay, I'm so happy for you. Let's talk about what's going on. It must be hard for you because you've been dealing with this topic for years and years and years. So how shocking it is for those who don't know what's going on and then suddenly see it. Tell us what's happened in the last 2 months on the border.
Well, so the bottom line is this. Anytime you have immigration, whether it's legal or illegal, but in this case illegal, you have to have two components. You have to have what's called push factors and pull factors, right?
Right.
So push factors are, and I'm sure most people know, but I'll review it. Push factors are anything in the country of origin, like in El Salvador, for instance, that makes people want to leave, whether they can't get jobs, they're starving, as you mentioned earlier.
Natural disasters, whatever, right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And pull factors are anything in the country of destination that encourages people to come. And so what we saw throughout the Trump years was a decrease in the pull factors. So the push factors were still there. People still want to leave. It's not great to be there. I understand that. But the pull factors were starting to decrease. Trump said, hey, if you come here, you're not going to be allowed to stay. So most people didn't come. They started to not come because they knew they weren't going to be allowed to stay. Now what we're seeing with the rhetoric, even before Trump implemented any policy changes, just the rhetoric alone discouraged people from coming. It ended pull factors. It reduced the pull factors. And now what we're seeing is the rhetoric, mostly the rhetoric from the Biden administration, not only during the administration, but also during the campaign, right? During the campaign and during the Democrat primaries, that rhetoric is encouraging people to come. People already want to leave. The push factors are already there, but the pull factors are increasing once again. So now we're seeing those people who are in horrible situations. They want to come here. And you know, regardless of your feelings about immigration, I do think the vast majority of the people coming are not bad people. I understand why they want to come. But there are also bad people mixed into that. And some of those bad people are very dangerous people, not only on a micro level, but also a macro level to our country, not only into small communities, but to the country as a whole. So it's problematic.
How good is this? Let's talk about it. Let's try and take emotion out of it. How good is this current new market for the cartels?
Well, it depends on the cartel. So if you are the Gulf cartel, specifically the Reynosa faction, south of Texas, close to the Gulf of Mexico, and your primary business model is migrant smuggling, whether it's illegal aliens trying to sneak in or whether it's people wanting asylum from Central America, for them it's a boon. It's making them so much money. Other cartels that primarily focus on drugs, they probably would prefer that the migrants weren't coming and we weren't talking about the border. But the ones that focus on these people, on the human smuggling, absolute boon for them.
And how is it affecting the nations involved? Because not everybody is coming from Mexico. They're coming from other countries. We've got reports of Iranians, Afghans, you name it. How is the influx, the pull factor that you've mentioned, affecting, for example, the nation of Mexico, Brandon?
Well, first off, the last time that I actually really got into the data, I believe it was in 2015, we had people, 2014, sorry, we had a complete data set, and there were people from 74 different nations who had been apprehended at our southern border. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Now, when we talk about the nations, I mean, you think about it, if, you know, it's kind of the downside to, you know, trying to help people, like, which I think a lot of people want to do. People are sympathetic to these people. But if you have a country, if you have a nation, and everyone who wants something better and has the spark to do something about their living situation, if they're able to just leave and there's that pressure valve for that country, then who's left in the country to change the country? Who's left to make it better? Yeah. If all of the doctors come to the United States, who's left to treat people in El Salvador? If all of the people who are capitalists and want to and have ambition to do something better come here, who's left to correct and fix El Salvador? So I think that that is one aspect of how it's affecting them. But then the other aspect is our policies are fueling transnational criminal organizations in Mexico. Some of those cartels, like I said, certain factions of the Gulf Cartel, the CDN faction of Los Zetas, they're making a lot of money. And this process of what's happening is encouraging people to come, and it's making these cartels a lot of money. So it's actually exacerbating and fueling the very systems that cause people to leave those countries.
A deadly cycle, and the only people enjoying it are the cartels. Follow this man right now for the ground truth on Twitter at Brandon Darby. God bless you, Brandon. Stay safe and stay away from those cigarettes. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. If you have a cell phone and you're attached to one of the big providers, stop it today. Cut the cord. They're not on your side. Take your phone number and join the only Christian conservative cell phone company, PatriotMobile.com. Great rates, great people. They're not going to use your money against you. They support the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, and the right to life. Transfer your number today, 972-PATRIOT. Their team is rated number one in customer service in the United States. That's 972-728-7468. Great discounts for our listeners. PatriotMobile.com/Gorka. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
It really boils down to who your favorite character on Aliens is. And I deliberately gave the wrong answer because I knew Jeff would have to feel a lot of calls from our sci-fi fans. Because, Jeff, what kind of films don't you like?
These.
Science fiction. Is it Hudson? Is it Hicks? Or is it Apone? Let's ask Daniel in Florida, line two. Welcome, Daniel. Set the record straight on who says, stay frosty.
Hi, Dr. Gorka. Pleasure to talk to you. It was Hicks.
Hicks, of course. And you...
And by the way, you need more...
Go ahead. And you like that movie, I hope?
I do, and you need more sci-fi on your shelves there.
More! Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Jeff is smiling so wryly because he can't stand the idea. He hates science fiction. Two of our team members are solid when it comes to their appreciation of science fiction. One of them, not so much. But we'll work it out. Maybe we'll have one mafia movie soundtrack for every science fiction one we have, because that's what Jeff likes. So you're a sci-fi fan, Daniel?
I am, yes. That's my political identity. I'm a sci-fi American.
That's unusual. Okay, rank top three films.
Oh, That's hard. Got to be Star Wars. Aliens is in there, not necessarily in order. Yep. And
there's only one that's missing. There's only one that's missing.
Yeah, there's so many.
No. There's only one that you can put in there that you haven't mentioned.
I'm going to put in Forbidden Planet. I'm going to go old school,
but you forgot Blade Runner. Thank you, Daniel. Yes. Appreciate you putting the record straight. Let's go to somebody who's been waiting a long time in New Jersey. Deborah, line five.
Hi, Mr. Gorka. To change the subject, I was just wondering why no one is talking about, but Mark Levine is, about the young lady that Biden put her against the wall and went in her clothes. How come
you mean Tara Reid, the woman that he raped?
And then I hear that she got some threats. That's why she gave up.
Well, why do you think they're not talking about her, Deborah?
No, but they have to do that because Cuomo, he bothered the ladies, I guess, you know. Look, listen to the lady. Everybody said...
But no, listen, believe them. You got to believe them. Believe the women, Deborah.
Right. So what happened about that young lady? She didn't get a chance to even to have anybody to interview her.
Well, of course not, because Biden's a Democrat. It's a Democrat, Deborah.
Yeah, I understand, but I would like you to talk. Mark Levine, he did a whole program on it.
Oh, we've discussed Tara Reid, Deborah. You need to listen to the show. It's only 3 hours a day. We actually played audio clips of Tara Reid, the Senate staffer, who was accused, very credibly accused, Joe Biden of raping her in the tunnels beneath Congress near the little train station that runs them between the buildings. So, Deborah, stay on the line. Let's give her any choice of our books because we just love first-time callers. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Stay on this channel.